I support Mitch Keller saying he's maybe going to go play golf or something as he awaits the MLB trade deadline. Josh Roundtree with you, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Keller's name undoubtedly has been cast out there as one of the big fish of this upcoming deadline coming up Thursday night. We're 48 hours away, if my math is correct, which I believe it is, from the MLB trade deadline. This time in 48 hours, we'll know if Mitch Keller is a Pirate or not. Sounds like those who once felt a trade of Keller was quite likely are now perhaps backing off of that sentiment. Noah Hyles from the Post-Gazette, you hear Noah on this station pretty much like, what, three times a day, something like that, especially around this time of year. We get Noah on here a lot to give his inside reporting on the Buccos. But Noah today saying that, well, Keller, even though there has been a lot of smoke to a trade, well, it might not be happening just yet. And by just yet, I mean before the trade deadline on Thursday. That perhaps the Pirates will wait. Perhaps they will hold off until the offseason. Now might not be the time, but a couple months from now, it could be. I don't really understand that line of thinking from the Pirates' standpoint. I feel like you have a window right now if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates. That window is remarkably small, and it is shrinking by the month, by the day, by the week. It's not opening. It's not in the process of opening for you. And that window is being propped open right now really by one generational talent in Paul Skeens. You have a star to build around. You have the guy that all of baseball would covet if they even had a remote chance at getting him. I have said from the beginning, I don't want to trade Mitch Keller. Keller's flaws are there. He has not been very good in the last couple of months of regular seasons. He hasn't been very good at all over the last couple of years, despite the fact that he has been, well, quite good leading into the last couple of months. But once the calendar seems to turn to August, Mitch Keller, not so good anymore. Maybe August hit early for Keller when he went just two innings last night, threw 73 pitches, gave up three earned runs, walked three batters, and was yanked. Maybe August and September have come just a few days early for Mitch Keller, or perhaps it's just a blip on what's been a very, very respectable radar here, despite having very little successes around him in the lineup. Keller's been really solid. 3.69 ERA, but a 4-10 record to go with it. It's unthinkable. I've said from the beginning I wouldn't trade Mitch Keller. My biggest reason for not trading Mitch Keller has been that I don't trust the guy who would be making the deal. I don't trust Ben Cherington to get significant, substantial, appropriate, or the correct return, really, the correct return for Mitch Keller. And to be honest, it's not so much that I think Cherington would lose the trade on paper as much as I feel that Cherington would lose the trade long term. If they're going to trade Keller, it's going to be for a bat or multiple bats. And that's the right mode of thinking. Why would you trade Keller if you're just getting a pitching prospect when you already have a good pitcher under contract at a, by Major League Baseball standards, reasonable rate? They should be looking at getting bats. I understand that. And if you're going to make the move, you better get a bat. What concerns me is if Ben Cherington goes out and makes this deal, is he going to bring in some 19-year-old high A-ball player with still years and years of development ahead of him in an organization that has not shown the ability whatsoever to develop hitters? I mean, what makes anybody think that the Pirates would actually win the Mitch Keller trade, given that this organization has so unbelievably and spectacularly failed at developing hitters and identifying hitters? Look no farther than the guy they took first overall, one of their early impressions here, Henry Davis. Henry Davis was known as a defensive liability at catcher that probably would never work out behind the plate, but he sure can hit, so it's worth the move. We can teach catcher. We can't necessarily teach hitting like Henry Davis was capable of. That was the thought process. What has happened with Henry Davis? He's batting 173 with four home runs. The guy couldn't hit the ocean if he was standing in the waves. And this is the organization that we're supposed to believe, the one that used a first-round pick on a sure-thing hitter who now years later, 5 years after the fact, is batting 173, who really should not be on a major league roster, and who looks like, without a doubt, a significant and another significant bust for this franchise. Should also note that whenever you Google search Henry Davis's name, a photo of Andy Rodriguez shows up. Let's check in on Andy Rodriguez. I'm just curious now if you Google Andy's name, if Henry Davis's photo shows up. No, it does not. But it also does show that he's batting 173 himself. And of course, injuries have plagued him. I look at this situation and think, if you get a really, really slam dunk deal for Keller, I'm talking a guy that is good to go, you know, is a good hitter, has established himself against major league pitching, that you don't need to do any real development with, and you can plug maybe one or two guys, maybe a guy that's a sure thing and a guy that you maybe have to develop in a short period of time, but you feel like perhaps by the start of next season can be a part of your lineup. If you can get that for Mitch Keller, sure, you consider making that move. Here's the problem with that, though. Why would any team that is going for a World Series right now trade a sure thing hitter off of their major league roster? I don't see that being part of the equation. And I've heard this thrown out there that the Pirates should go and search for major league talent to come back. If you're looking at a deal with the Cubs or the Yankees or the Red Sox, yeah, maybe there's depth organizationally that you could trade for. But if those teams were all gearing up for pennant runs, why would they want to part with established hitters? It's hard to believe that that's even a possibility or could be a possibility for these Pittsburgh Pirates. So then what? Then it becomes prospects. The Pittsburgh prospects. It's the same refrain that we've heard here for three decades. We trade our good players for their prospects. And far, far, far more times than not, those prospects don't pan out here. Developmentally, something happens along the way. Even guys that are right there in AAA, guys that hit at every level and they're right there at AAA and they're hitting at AAA and then they get to the majors and what happens? They can't do anything. Or they do for a little while and then they fall off a cliff like Jack Sawinski and they can't touch a baseball. I'm not interested in the prospect game if Mitch Keller's name comes up on the trade block. I can't trust the organization to make the trade. I don't think that there's a trade for a proven commodity out there. I would be stunned if there was. I would be stunned if by Thursday at 6 o'clock, Mitch Keller has been traded for a major league hitter. That's not going to happen. So you start looking now at the offseason. No Ohio's Post-Gazette reporting again today that the Pirates have cooled a little bit, if you will, on trading Keller before Thursday's deadline. And instead, might recircle the wagons in this offseason. The thought process behind that, I understand it, but at the same time, I don't. The thought process with waiting until the offseason is that you then open up the market to everybody. That all teams out there can then have an interest in Mitch Keller. Not just the teams that currently find themselves in the race. I get that side of things. I get that way of thinking. But I think it's also somewhat of a misconception. At least it should be. If you have a team right now that is going for a championship and feels like they are perhaps a Mitch Keller away from winning said championship, don't you feel like the benefit of trying to fleece them in a trade could be there because of their desperation to win a title? I feel like that becomes the equalizer when you talk about trading at the deadline and trading in the offseason. Yes, your field of potential candidates is limited right now compared to what it might be in, you know, 3-4 months. However, you also have the advantage right now of teams getting desperate because they can see the finish line in sight, but they need your piece to go get to that finish line. You know, once you get to January, everybody starts to feel like, well, we can build a pretty good team here, but we don't have to do anything out of desperation because there's other avenues to build a baseball team other than the trade market. Free agency comes into play once you get into the offseason. I don't know why people don't talk about that. Yes, the field opens up, but the field of players opens up as well. Teams who are in the race who might have players on expiring contracts but don't want to trade them right now have the ability, once the season is over, to perhaps, if a player has a year left or something like that, they can go trade him at that point. So you're limiting the field, but you're also limiting the players. And I kind of look at it as a wash at the end of the day. You trade Mitch Keller now, you trade Mitch Keller in a few months. I don't know that the return's going to be all that different for these Pittsburgh Pirates. I really don't. And I think there's a chance right now that people look at what Mitch Keller has done last night, maybe tossed aside. But I think there's a reasonable view of Mitch Keller right now that this is a guy who can step into a rotation. And if you have to pitch him in Game 3 of a playoff series or Game 2 of a playoff series, you at least feel like you have a chance to win because the ERA says as much. The stats say as much. Maybe the win-loss record doesn't say as much, but that's not on Keller. That's on the inept hitting development of his bosses. I just don't want to make that move. I haven't. I've had a bad feeling about it from the beginning. A lot of it was just the gut feeling that this front office would mess this whole thing up. And on top of that, your window is open. You have a sure enough thing in Mitch Keller. Why are you going to trade the known for the unknown when your window is open? I get it. If you're rebuilding, if 2026 is about tearing it all down and rebuilding, then yeah, go ahead and trade Mitch Keller now. In fact, go ahead and trade Paul Skeens because you're never going to get a window open of Paul Skeens if you decide to go rebuild because he is not signing an extension here. Your chance is 2026. There could be a lockout in 2027. That is a very real possibility. We're going to talk about that later, hopefully in the show as well, about Bryce Harper confronting the commissioner of Major League Baseball reportedly in a clubhouse. We'll talk about that. But this is becoming a real element of the equation right now that I think needs to force the Pirates into doing something that they might not be comfortable with. And that is building a good enough roster through their finances and through aggressiveness to go win in 2026. Because 2027 is not a given. And once you start getting into the late 2020s, the optics, I think, become more and more dim. Let's be real here. As great as Paul Skenes is, it seems almost inevitable that these top caliber pitchers with these big arms are going down for a year and a half at some point. Your window is right now. While this guy looks big and strong and healthy, and he's throwing like a Cy Young candidate, every single batter that steps into that box is seeing a Cy Young candidate pitcher 60 feet away. I can't get on board with it, man. I can't. I start reading around and looking around, and you get reports, you know, the Cubs are willing to trade their top prospect potentially for Mitch Keller. Owen Cassie, outfielder. 37th prospect in all of baseball, 23-year-old, batting .278, 940 OPS. It should be worth noting here that the Pirates don't have anybody on their entire roster near a 940 OPS. Their best guy is O'Neill Cruz, and he's at 747. So maybe you're getting a player there. He has 20 homers in 81 games, good pop, walks a bunch, average fielder, but who cares if he hits? You could plug and play probably at the start of next season and have you feel like a pretty good player in your lineup day in and day out. That's the advantage. You trade Keller for a hitter, he plays every day. You keep Keller, he plays once every five. ESPN's Jorge Castillo reporting that the Yankees could be in the market for Keller. He says, quote, the Yankees want a starting pitcher, and Keller, while not the best starter seemingly available, would be a solid addition to a depleted rotation. Goes on to give the accolades of Keller, mentions that he's under contract for three more years for a sensible $55.7 million. It's funny how when it's the Yankees acquiring him, it's a sensible contract, but for the Pirates, it's so draining financially that they need to get rid of him. If that doesn't make you sick over the economics of Major League Baseball, that one sentence, a sensible $55.7 million, which looks like the most oppressive finances imaginable for the home team. Top Yankees prospect is George Lombard Jr. He's a shortstop, second baseman, middle infielder, 29th overall prospects. And then after that, they have some pitching prospects who are ranked highly. And then they have a big 6'7", 240-pound outfielder named Spencer Jones, who has 29 home runs in 68 games. What is with the Yankees and these 6'7", 240-pound mashers of baseball? Where do they come from? How do they get them all? Judge, Stanton. I guess the Pirates have O'Neill Cruz. He's 6'7", but I would much prefer that he hit the ball like Judge or Stanton historically have. Maybe the Pirates make that move. Maybe they get a big masher and they finally have a 40 home run hitter for the first time in 50 years. The Red Sox have reportedly expressed interest in Mitch Keller as well. Are they doing that because they know that the Yankees are interested and they're trying to just drive up the price on the Yankees, so they're making the phone call so that the Yankees end up spending a little bit more? Perhaps. Because not all that long ago, there was a report out that the Red Sox had no interest at all in Mitch Keller. And then the Yankees suddenly get linked to Mitch Keller, and suddenly the Red Sox are now being thrown out there. Franklin Arias is their top prospect, by the way, another middle infielder, but he's 19 years old. I will be irate if we are sitting here Thursday night. I won't be sitting here, at least not that I know of. I guess I could get a phone call. But if we're sitting there Thursday night and Mitch Keller is no longer a Pirate and the guy that comes back is a 19-year-old, I might put my head through a wall. I don't want your high A player. I don't want your middling hitting double A prospect. No. If you're going to trade Mitch Keller, it has to be for a proven major league bat, and that's not going to happen, so you might as well keep him. And then you spend a little money. You get rid of the GM whose staff is incapable of developing hitting talent here in Pittsburgh. And you try to go for it in 2026 with Paul Skenes. Before you hit a potential lockout, before Skenes has unknowns thrown at him, and before Skenes leaves. Go for it now. Make this fan base not call into our shows, gnashing their teeth in anguish over the ineptitude of this franchise as it currently stands. 412-928-9370. That's the number. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. Keller, should they keep him and maybe try to build up and go for it in 26? Or has it really, this season as a whole, made you give up on any sort of short-term hopes? Are you out on the Pirates for 26, 27, whatever? And do you think they just need to go full reset? Prospects, load up, see what happens in the future. You heard from me. Let's hear from you. 412-928-9370. That's the number. Fan text line. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Good to be with you on this, what is it, Tuesday? Tuesday night. We got a couple guests coming up. Shelby Cassese, our friend, joining the show from Steelers training camp in a little bit. We'll have Kevin Gorman on to talk MLB trade deadline as well later on. I'm Josh Rountree. Let's get your calls. 412-928-9370. This is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.